heard it, you got gnosis. You store that in your memory center. Okay, I heard what he said. Now, you may forget it before you get to the restaurant. But if you took a few notes, if you wrote it down, if you went home and looked at your notes that evening, and then you applied what the pastor said into your life, then it becomes epignosis. Then it becomes full knowledge. Listen, when it says a knowledge puffeth up, maketh proud, that's gnosis, not epignosis. Epignosis is full knowledge. That is you applying, executing, using the Word of God in your life on a daily basis. So there's a difference between knowing and applying. You can know all you want to know, but if you don't apply, it's not doing you any good at all. So when the Bible tells us to grow in the grace, which we'll discuss next week, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's critical you understand that. You can't grow without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And under the filling of the Holy Spirit, His job is to teach you knowledge. Jesus said He would guide you into truth. He would cause you to understand. And the first thing He's going to show you is that knowledge comes from the Scripture. Until you learn the Word of God, you won't have knowledge. You can get human viewpoint thinking anywhere. You can read the newspaper and get human viewpoint thinking. But divine viewpoint, that's in the Scripture. That's
Do you think
Bible.
That the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. Here we are in another Sunday morning, and another day closer to Jefferson we be. So, and I hope everybody's been coming through the storms okay. I know that howled through Redding up here pretty good last night, and I was talking to a couple buddies down by Chico and Gridley and that, and they said it was howling through there pretty well too. So, hopefully it translated into some snow up top. That's what I'm really hoping. But we are here with Wynn Carpenter. How goes it this morning, Wynn?
Good. So far, so good. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Things are rolling along. Busily going through everything that's going on and the different things that are getting fired up. And busy but good.
All right.
So, kind of like Jefferson.
Yes. Very busy.
Yeah. And so we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about our numbers, which continue to be brought up, not as much as they used to be about, where do our numbers come from and how do we know that we're financially viable and, you know, the flack that we've taken from that from people like Keep It California and their numbers and things like that. And as time goes on, whose numbers are really telling the truth is floating to the surface here in the California sewer. For those of you that don't know, several of the largest counties, the most populated counties, just declared that they are bankrupt. Well, sorry, no, not bankrupt. They are insolvent according to their bank statement.
Bankrupt.
So, yeah, bankrupt. It's some of the largest counties and some interesting things that the state of California itself has discovered about the numbers in the different counties, and it's what we've been saying for almost going on 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about that. We'll also be discussing some of the different things that are going on with CalPERS. You know, for a lot of us, it's kind of a personal picking point with the state of Jefferson and, you know, warning people with what's going on. They're finally starting to admit that they've been lying through their teeth on the numbers and just how bad it is and how bad it's looking for people. So we'll probably be hammering a lot of that this morning. And then, when you got any updates on the things that are going on and coming town halls and things like that?
We do. We have a town hall coming up in April here in Shasta County, April 2nd. It's Saturday. It'll be at 2290 Benton Drive, and it's at the Senior Center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same place we had the last one.
Yeah.
And it's been about 2 years since we had the last one.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, I think it has.
How did that happen?
I don't know. The clock is ticking.
It moves fast.
Yeah, we're expecting a full crowd there. We're going to be doing updates on all the information regarding Jefferson to date as of that morning, because things change daily and multiple times daily.
That's
so we can't promise anything right now of what we're going to be talking about until we get to that point, but it'll definitely be updated. It'll be current. And that way people will understand where we're headed, why we're headed the direction we are.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have an opportunity to ask questions, get their answers, and, you know, they have skin in the game, so we want to make sure that they understand what they're doing and why we're doing it.
Well, that's a lot of the questions that I'm getting now have changed from, you know, tell me about Jefferson or explain Jefferson to, where are you guys? What's
right.
going on? When is this going to happen?
Right.
You know, is it going to happen fast enough that I don't have to move out of state?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And on a range of issues from money to gun rights to all kinds of different things.
Well, and that's just it. People are starting to understand that it's not just a single issue topic. We're not changing a state just because we want to change a name or leave California for a one particular reason. There are multiple reasons, and they have some of those reasons held close to their heart.
Yeah.
And so they're understanding that, let's make this happen. Let's make it happen soon. Let's move on. Let's get out of this mess and move forward.
Yeah, well, and that's true. You know, in the beginning, everybody, especially Keep It California, said, oh, they're just mad about the fire fee and transgender bathrooms.
That's one of them. Or two of them.
That's two out of a
big
long
list.
Train of yeah. abuses.
Yep.
And, you know, just a litany of things. We could probably sit here until the wee hours of the morning just telling you the issues that we have with the state of California. And the different things that they've done. But what it comes down to is we're suffering under an oppressive, unresponsive, totalitarian state that is using the threat of force to occupy us and conduct economic warfare against us.
And a 25-cent silver bullet can fix that.
Yes, it can.
So that's what we're looking at. Jefferson is the silver bullet. It is what we need to do to move forward. And we have a wonderful team of people in every single county that are working toward that. And
yep.
collectively, they're awesome. Individually, they're awesome, but collectively, it's just phenomenal to see what's going on.
Collectively, it's a party.
It'll be a big celebration when the gavel comes down and we are the new state.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then we got to move on to the next fight.
Yes.
You know, which is exactly what will the state look like
right.
for a lot of the things, and how do we preserve it once we have it?
Right.
You know, and that to me, that's the most important fundamental thing is how do we ensure what we create survives through the generations? How do we put it in a box and keep it there, but also give it the room to grow as needed?
Right, and that's the magic of all the wonderful minds that are in Jefferson that
Absolutely.
Can make that happen.
Yeah,
and they will. You know, that's the thing. People are gonna. You know, it's going to be a tug of war on certain things, but at the end of the day, it is going to be a sovereign state
mm-hmm.
that is going to be rock solid, economically sound, and a great, safe place to live, and great for raising mm-hmm. families, and great for retiring, great for everything. So it'll be the gem of the North Coast, if you will.
Yeah, and this is not a partisan movement. It's not a Republican
nope.
movement. It's not a Democrat movement. It's not a Libertarian movement. I would say there are a lot of libertarians involved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, you know, the other day I saw a picture of of a vehicle going down the road, State of Jefferson sticker and a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker. And it's not usually a combination, but you see, but hey, more power to them.
That's right. They see the value in it.
And they have they're entitled to their opinion that Bernie Sanders is what's best for the country. But at the same time, they understand that even with Bernie Sanders as president, it doesn't do you any good without a sovereign state.
That's right.
You know, and that's everybody's distracted by the game show that our presidential elections have become.
Well, the reality show at best.
It is. It's embarrassing and it's disgraceful. It's kind of disgusting what they've really turned it into. It's sad, but it is what it is, and that's why we need to focus and retake local.
Yes.
And from the ground up, we got to build the farm team before we think about swinging the bat in the majors.
Well, and that's, you have to do it in every single county locally. You know, with city council, county board of supervisors, school board, whatever it may be, you have to get out there and support those folks that are running that are of the like mind and making sure that we're doing it correctly and moving forward, because that's the only way it's going to work.
And there's a lot of these guys, if you really knew who they were and what they were and what they were about, you wouldn't let them within 50 feet of your kids.
Right.
Especially one of them here in Shasta County.
Yeah.
But, you know, let alone running your government and making decisions for you.
That's right.
So with that, we probably better get off to our first break. And if you want to get a hold of us, we're at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion. NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net. And donate now to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on now.
Moving on.
New
getting our turn at bat.
Mm-hmm.
There ought to be some of these people wondering where that bat's getting swung at.
Duck, quick, duck, duck.
We had the gun show up here in Reading yesterday. And
today.
And today as well.
9 to 4 o'clock at Hilltop Holiday Inn.
Absolutely. There's a State of Jefferson booth. Go down there. There's gear for sale at another booth. There's information on the State of Jefferson at the other booth. I understand they were doing pretty good on signatures.
We were.
Cooking right along, and somebody in the chat room, Sally, just said, you're so right about the difference in the questions that we're getting asked compared to last year.
Yeah.
And those questions were even different than the questions from the first year, because the first year there wasn't any really questions. It was just people going, you're nuts.
Yeah. Where's your tinfoil hat?
Yeah. And it is. It's kind of neat to look back, and that's one of the things that we say a lot is we look at how much further we have to go with the State of Jefferson, and it seems a little daunting. And then we look back and see what we've accomplished,
yeah,
and how daunting that was.
Well, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and that's the thing. We have to keep that focus that, it's going to take time, so just suck it up and just keep on going.
Yeah, it is, and just keep on trucking, keep hammering away. One of the things that we were just talking about is, our concern over the federal elections and stuff are not really what they should be. I mean, is the President of the United States of America important? Well, certainly, of course, he is. But the fundamental difference that he's going to have on your life is going to be minimal compared to your city council member. Or somebody that's sitting on the water board of your particular district, or even the school board,
right?
Your county supervisors and all of these different things. Personally, I've come to believe the two most important positions in our government is probably district attorney and sheriff, because you need a sheriff that's willing to enforce the law, and you need a district attorney that's willing to prosecute people for the law, even if they are the power that be.
There we go.
For violation of the law, because we have run into a lot of situations in this state and different states where the fundamental problem is the sheriff won't serve subpoenas or arrest the people, or the district attorney won't prosecute them.
Yeah, and you're stymied then. There's nothing you can do.
There's no recourse.
Right.
And that's something that needs to be addressed. But we had somebody asking if we have a breakdown of all of the Jefferson candidates in what counties and cities that they're running in. I don't believe we have that. We should.
We should, but I don't think we do.
That's something that we'll remedy, but I can tell you some of them off the top of my head. Of course, is Steve Baird running for Senate District 1 against that, what's the guy's name?
I forget.
Something. Wait. Anyways, the guy that we have now, he's Steve Baird, is definitely a Jeffersonian,
yep.
And he's running against, And then
somebody named who?
Somebody, yeah.
Who?
Yeah. I don't know, country club guy or something. And then here in Shasta County, we have Janet Chandler that's running for
District 3.
District 3.
Of the supervisors.
Of the supervisors. We have Rob Oakley in Trinity County that is running against.
Well, he's supporting somebody who is running.
Oh,
he's not running. He's standing behind one of the ladies over there that's running for the district in that area, and I don't know the district number. Sorry.
Okay, that's a change. Do you remember the lady's name that's running?
I do not. I wish I did, but I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll find that one out. I know that we have Gary Bradford down in Yuba County.
Okay.
He'll be running. I know there's more, and I can't think of them off the top of my head. But thank you for that very excellent question. And we'll get that list compiled. I can't believe we haven't done that.
Well, and Joe Montez is running for Congress.
Absolutely.
And he's
a Jefferson supporter.
He's a Jefferson supporter. And so then we also have Tom Del Beccaro, who's going to be running for U.S. Senate. And he's definitely a Jefferson supporter.
Yeah.
So he's learning more information about it because he hasn't been exposed to it. But what he's heard so far, he supports. And so they're both. All those folks there are definitely supporters of Jefferson at this point.
So, and there's a good collection of people. And Doug Amalfa says that he is a supporter of the state of Jefferson. But unfortunately, actions speak a lot louder than words.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
And we know that Congressman Amalfa has been involved actively in some things that have hurt the state of Jefferson and attempted to slow their momentum. We are fully aware from the horse's mouth that he contacted Board of Supervisor member Steve Lambert in Butte County some months ago and actively told him to get the state of Jefferson tabled, not to move it forward. And that was straight from our congressman's mouth. So I don't know how, as a congressman, you can say that you support something and then you're telling your neighbor in the county that you're from, hey, get this table installed out.
Yep.
I believe that's a lie.
Yeah.
So, again, there's guys like James Gallagher who ran on supporting the state of Jefferson, was extremely strong and influential in getting it through in Yuba and Sutter County. He actually wrote the declarations, but now that he's in office in Sacramento, he won't touch it.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
again,
don't answer calls, don't respond to letters.
No.
All of that good stuff.
And you'll pay the price for that.
Oh, yeah. There's a price to be paid.
Yes, for all of them.
Yep.
And, you know, you guys are from here. You should know that we don't forget. You guys should you should know better. So, anyways, one of the things we wanted to talk to and dive into here before the break is apparently the 12 most populated counties in California are now insolvent on their bank statement. They're bankrupt. Which is something we've been preaching for a long time. We're talking about San Bernardino County, Los Angeles County, Orange County, San Diego County, Santa Clara County, all these major urban areas. And the only urban area that seems to be doing good is San Francisco. And everybody's kind of looking at San Francisco because they're saying they've got a $6 million surplus, and it's like, okay, you guys are still drinking the Kool-Aid and are not doing your accounting right, or you guys were making a lot more money off Leland E's gun deals than you were talking about.
$6 million. How long is that going to last the county of San Francisco or city of San Francisco? How long is that going to last?
I don't know. Is that like
5 minutes?
Yeah. Is that like the payroll for the sheriff there?
I don't know. I mean. Yeah.
And who knows if the numbers are true? Because according to our numbers, San Francisco is buried in red tape and buried in, in debt. Just like we said all these other counties were.
Wow.
Some time ago, and Keep It California and their ilk were like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. You're making all that up. Well, the things that they're admitting to is, we've been overstating our assets. We've been understating our liabilities. We've been overstating our expectancies. If you or I did that, it'd be fraud. Mm-hmm. We'd be in prison.
Yeah.
But no, that's not how it works in California. It's because we have three sets of law. We have the law they'll hold you accountable to and make up as they go, and the law that they get to ignore.
Hmm.
You know,
they're choosing the latter, are they?
Well, if you had a private corporation and that was overstating its books, and people were investing or making decisions and financial things that way, and it turns out that you were lying intentionally, I believe we call that Enron, and you would go to prison. There will not be one person that goes to prison. And ultimately, who is the most accountable person in the county for lying about their finances? Wouldn't that be the treasurer?
Oh, well, one would think.
One would think that the treasurer would be the one that's supposed to know the bottom line on the balance sheet. And if liabilities are being understated and assets are being overstated, that would be the treasurer doing that, correct?
Yeah, and the council, wouldn't they be questioning that, making sure that they, not just assuming or just taking the numbers at face value, but questioning it?
So
show me your numbers.
If you have the treasurer, if you have the counties that are insolvent and have been, but nobody knew because they were lying, and that fundamentally comes down to the treasurer, that would mean that you have a collection of county treasurers that are lying about the finances, correct?
Is there some kind of thing going on with all these county treasurers?
Is it any kind of coincidence that the head of Keep It California is a county treasurer. And perhaps considering that her numbers line up to all the other numbers that are being exposed as a lie, that somewhere along the lines you would start to assume that maybe that county treasurer is a liar too?
No, that wouldn't happen.
It would. And it's being exposed as a lie. So,
wow. Gives you something to chew on, doesn't it?
Well, I just want you start to connect the dots and you kind of put some of the BS aside and you look at it and you kind of start to understand it. And, it's going to be devastating to a lot of these counties because they're going to have to start cutting services.
Absolutely.
They're going to have to start cutting the things that they're doing that are mandated. And what is the solution to that going to be? Is going to be to ask for more money.
Yep.
They're going to want to raise taxes. The state also now admits that they're broke. So now you have the counties that are broke. You have the state of California that's broke, that magically overnight went from billions of dollars in surplus to, oh, we got a $143 million budget deficit. Oh, it's a lot worse than that. Trust me. So what's the answer going to be? Raise taxes.
And they're going to pilfer some of these retirement accounts.
They are pilfering these retirement. We'll be talking about CalPERS after that, after this, because that is a separate issue from what's going on with these. But, yeah, CalPERS is in even worse shape, as we've been trying to tell people. But the issue is with the counties, where are they going to get tax money? How does raising taxes on broke counties help those broke counties? But wait a minute, there's counties that aren't broke.
Uh-oh.
And those are the rural counties. We've been saying the whole time. Isn't that crazy?
You mean little hillbillies up in the mountains, they know what they're doing?
Yeah, that's why they're passing things like the fire fee and the mileage tax and things like this to suck us dry, because we're the only ones that have got anything left.
And how much do you have left individually? I mean, if you think about it, they're saying we're the only ones with anything left.
I
look at your own pocketbook. How much do you have left?
I can't afford a 30% kick.
No. Nobody can.
Nobody can.
Nobody can.
Nobody can take a 3-cent kick. But again, it's the example of we're not the welfare counties. The urban counties are sucking the wealth out of us and sucking us dry so that they can feed their failure.
Well, maybe that's going to really help us to split off. They can realign, and they're going to have another split down there somewhere else, and they can have three states out of California at some point.
I don't care what they do with the other part.
I don't either, but I mean, maybe that's where we're headed in the long run, to get this whole darn thing cleaned up.
Maybe.
And get rid of
That'll be
leadership.
For them to decide what to do about it.
Yeah.
But, again, we're not asking permission.
No.
Okay, we are being oppressed. We're being trampled on. We're suffering under a tyrannical government. And by definition, if you look at everything that's being done, our own government is conducting economic warfare against us.
Yep.
And it's over. I'm through with it. I know you're through with it. Everybody else is through with it. And more people every day are becoming through with it. And every day that the State of Jefferson movement continues, we grow stronger and the state of California grows weaker, because right now, we're looking like we were prophetic 3 years ago in everything that we said, and everybody told us that we were nuts. We were the canary in the gold mine, was the State of Jefferson movement, because everything that we said is coming true. Our numbers are scarily accurate.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah, because we actually sat down and dug through everything the way that you're supposed to and did the math.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. We have some really bright people in Jefferson
that are smart
making things happen, and they're part of the fold, and we know what's going on. That's the thing. And like you said, almost prophetic that we knew it 3 years ago when things are starting to be put together and crunching numbers and being conservative with those numbers. Yeah, that was the thing.
And it's hard because there's that immediate reaction of you want to run around and go, I told you so. But it's scary.
It is.
And it's sad, and especially for CalPERS, and we're being proved right on that. But with that, we better get ourselves off to the break, and we'll be talking about the CalPERS things when we come back.
All righty.
So this is KCNR1460.com. You can join us there in the chat room or at 530-605-4567. Give us a call and a comment.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy. Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weeders and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Yeah, you gotta love a little Sublime in the morning. Mm-hmm. Puts a little cheer in your step. You know. Oh, so CalPERS and the disaster that it is really becoming and proving to be. Again, we're continuing to beat this drum, and anybody that is in CalPERS, please, 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 if you don't take our word for it, go look yourselves at what is going on with your retirement and understand that you're about to be left without a pot to piss in. The numbers that are coming out of CalPERS are very shaky. Back in 2011, they kept saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be okay, we're going to be okay. And 2012 came, and they said, well, look at our 2011 numbers. We're going to be okay, we're going to be okay. And 13 came, and they said, look at the 2011 numbers. Aren't those spectacular? And then 2014 came, and they said, well, we've readjusted our numbers. And if you look at comparison to 2011, and if 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 look like 2011 did, we're fine.
If.
Yeah, if. And now the 15 numbers are here, and they can't lie anymore.
Yeah.
They are admitting the same things. We've overstated assets. We've understated liabilities. We have predicated all, and that we've been pushing our debt, what is owed, to the future. We've been removing our deficits and putting it on next year's balance sheet.
Yeah.
Can you and I do that?
They're just trying to do carryover and just ignoring it and keep pushing it forward.
Can I take all of my bills and call up all the people that I owe bills to, like the power company and the water company, and go, hey, I want to be fiscally solvent this year, so I'll pay you next year.
There you go. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll let you do that.
That's essentially what CalPERS has done, is they have gone to people to make investments and to make loans and said, hey, I have this brand spanking new Lamborghini, beautiful thing. In reality, it's paper mache with a Ford Pinto underneath of it. Okay? And understating their liabilities,
yeah.
They owe so much money. And they're also admitting that, hey, we haven't been showing you the real profit sheet. We've been showing you what the profit sheet would have been if we actually hit 7.5% or 8% investment return like we should have. The national average on investment return for like the last 6 years is 3-4%. We've actually been hitting about 2.5% or 2.75%, and this is what we look like.
So we're three times worse off than we would have been several years ago if they'd have just been honest in the beginning and just started dealing with it then.
Well, then everybody would have known 5 years ago that they're hitting a brick wall.
Yeah.
And there is nothing to save it or salvage it. The only thing that is floating CalPERS right now is the rising stock market, which ought to be terrifying everybody if you look at everything else that's going on. And, you know, what they're invested in is about to fall on its face. You know, the energy market investments are the only thing that we're holding CalPERS up. And as the price of oil is falling, the price per barrel is falling, their investments are shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting out of that to invest in green energy that is not producing the incomes that it was supposed to. And they have gone from saying that we are 77% funded, which is more than enough for us to carry the retiree load and be okay, and in a certain time we'll be fully funded. Well, they've revised those numbers to their 58% funded, which is not sustainable, which means they cannot hand out the money to retirees because they need that money to generate the investment to pay people in the future.
Wow.
They're defunct. They're done. They're, as we've been saying, they're dead men walking.
So now what's going to happen to all these victims, you know, the workers that are either getting close to retirement or several years from retirement? What's going to happen there? That's all going to be gone.
It is. You know, they're facing the same thing young people like myself are facing with Social Security.
Yeah.
I got to keep paying into Social Security, but I'm not ever going to see a dime of it. You know, our own federal government said if you're under the age of 40, forget it. They've already said that. CalPERS is done, and anybody that still has their money in CalPERS, I'd get it out. Because what they're also not telling you is there are people bailing out of CalPERS and record numbers, which is something that you yourself can speak to.
You're right. I did that back in October. Mm-hmm. October 30th, I quit my job. And because of this kind of stuff was going on and this was being out there and understanding what was going on, checking out, forecasting what the numbers were going to be. So I bailed out, cashed out of CalPERS, and transferred all my funds from CalPERS that I had at that moment to a self-directed IRA. Yeah. So I had access to it, and then that can be transferred over into gold and silver, whatever.
And you took a hit doing that, and you will take a hit doing that, mm-hmm. but we're urging people to do it because we've been looking at these numbers for the last 3 years wishing that we were wrong.
Right.
I mean, whatever you think about public unions or public employees or anything about this, I would not wish what's coming on anybody.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine working your entire life to have it all taken away. I mean, and Social Security folding at the same time, you're going to have a bunch of government workers that are trying to get jobs at McDonald's or Walmart or anything that they can glom onto, not just for extra income, but to try and survive.
Right. Yeah.
It's the collapse is going to be seismic.
Well, like for me, I had to quit my job in order to get to the retirement. Yeah. So I knew I needed it, and to me it was worth it because I had so much money sitting there. And I'm not saying boatload of money, but I'm just saying I had money sitting there that was more than my annual salary. So do I keep the job for another year and things may happen there, or do I cash out? It was not an easy decision.
But I can imagine.
My wife and I prayed a lot and went through the process and figured out what we could do and how we could do it, and that's what I did. So I, for my family and for myself and my wife and I, the whole package, it was best situation for us. That's what we did. And
it's coming to pass that you did the right thing.
I did. Yeah, I clearly did. Yeah.
And
it may not be for everybody because not everybody can afford to quit their job in order to get their retirement. But if that's what needs to happen and or you're close enough to do it, I would definitely do it. Jump on it. And it takes time to get that money out of the system. You have to be out of the employment market for 31 days before you can apply to even transfer CalPERS monies to a different account where it's going to be safe and solvent. And then that takes time because then you have to jump through all the hoops that they require. So it took about 2.5 months by the time I finally got the confirmation that it all made it from CalPERS over to where it needed to go from the time I started working on it after that 31 days. So you're looking at 3.5 months of going through the process.
Yeah, don't make the assumption that you're going to feel the first trembles of the earthquake and run down and get your money out.
And that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Nope.
So with that, we've got Patty on the line with a question about CalPERS.
Patty, hey, Red, how you doing?
Hey, Patty, how's it going?
All right. Hey, I've talked to Wynn about this, and where I work for the school district, and I don't want to tip my hat yet, you know, is it a state thing or is it per county on if I quit to get my money, I can't go to work for another school district in the county? Do you know how that works without me calling a union rep and asking them?
I would call the union rep and ask them.
I would call the union rep. They need to know what's going on. They need to know your concerns. They need to be looking. I remember that we did a town hall in, I think it was Roseville or somewhere outside of Sacramento, and I spoke to a fireman down there that was also the employee union rep, and he said, I am so glad that I came here today and heard you talk because we know something's going on with CalPERS, and we can't get a straight answer out of them.
Right.
So I would actually talk to your union rep and get them to look at it. I don't if you want, we can look into the specifics for you and find out, you know, what that is and how long you have to be, or if you can't go to work for, we can look that up for you. But my suggestion is if you're able to, talk to the union rep about it.
Yeah, I would
the local guy, or
yeah, I would do all your homework before you make a move because you don't have any regret.
I would be telling my fellow employees and stuff too. You need to start looking at what's going on with CalPERS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and if they tell you you're crazy and they walk away, well, they do. At least you tried.
Right.
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 You know,
because they are in real, real trouble.
Yeah, and I know we are.
And the other problem is when those unfunded liabilities come due, there is somebody in the fine print that's supposed to pay for that, and that's the local municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
That's the local counties, the local cities, things like that are supposed to make up the shortfall. Well, they're insolvent now.
Right.
Where are they going to get the money?
Yeah, and then with the decision out of Stockton last year that municipalities can actually add your CalPERS pensions to their bankrupt settlements, and you now become a unsecured creditor.
Yeah,
that means you go to the back of the line for your money behind all the big guys.
Yep.
Right.
They're done.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the guys in Stockton, they lost all their benefits. They lost their health benefits. They lost everything and got 3 cents on the dollar back on their retirement.
Yeah, not good.
Not good at all.
No.
So do your homework, Patty. It definitely is worth the look into it and find out what you need to do for yourself and then what you can do after the fact as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And what municipalities are solvent are going to be crushed by the tidal wave that is CalPERS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, speaking for Reading, we've looked at the number. Our exposure is already 240% of payroll for our unfunded liabilities just in the city of Reading. And that's based off of what BS numbers CalPERS has been floating. So if you look at the actual numbers of what we owe, we figure we're more like 380% of payroll for our unfunded liability. And if CalPERS collapses, that money comes due right now. Every year, you owe 380% of payroll this year and every year thereafter.
Right.
Oh, man.
It's that bad.
That hurts.
So.
Alrighty, guys. Yeah, I'll contact my rep.
Good luck, Patty.
I would.
All right.
Thank you, Patty.
Thanks. Bye.
And with that, we've got Henry on the line.
To do.
Good morning, Henry.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Yeah, this is Henry speaking. Say, when this becomes the state of Jefferson, can I leave a suggestion?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, you're going to have a state constitution, I'm sure.
Correct. Yes, we will. Yep.
Now, politicians being politicians, I'm not concerned about the first group that's elected, but the second or third group are going to be typical politicians, I'm sure, and power hungry and so on and so forth. Is there any way that you can write into your constitution that you can do a complete recall in any county on anybody within 30 to 60 days?
I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of stuff, parameters set up for that.
Because that is one of our greatest concerns is not only how do we regain our liberty, how do we keep it secured for the next generation so it doesn't get
superseded. Well, you've got a good example of that in the fellow that you sent to Sacramento, you know, that was rooting for you, and when he got down there, he doesn't want any more to do with it.
Right, right.
And you need to be able to stop that kind of thing.
Well, that's what we're hoping to be able to form through the Constitutional Convention and all the other processes, that it will be watertight. We'll be able to make sure we have things in place, so if they do step out of line, we have a way to correct them and or remove them immediately, and then they have to do some highway cleanup or something. They will have some repercussions. They're not just going to get their hands slapped and walk away. They're going to have some issues with it, and maybe a financial penalty, whatever. There will be things in place for them to have to toe the mark and do the right thing.
Well, see, my concern is this, that if you wanted to recall a city council member in Reading or a county supervisor or whatever, if I started today, it would be probably 6 months or a year before it ever get to a ballot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And by then, they're either out of office or they're reelected or something else, or the whole thing has changed. You need something that'll move quickly.
And those are things that we're looking at. Our primary concerns with recalls is making sure that they are easy and accessible to the public to conduct, making sure that it doesn't cost boatloads of money to do them,
right?
That it can be done rapidly. Those are things that we are concerned about and we'll make sure is in the Constitution.
Well, another thing that I've run into over my years, I was in the development business before I retired, but if I were to go to the city of Reading today to build a house, and I'm going to tell you a 2,200 square foot house, it would cost me in the neighborhood of $40,000 before I ever stuck a shovel in the ground.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, isn't it?
Huh?
It's unfortunate that that's the case.
Well, that's a fact.
Yes.
Now, it seems like, for instance, if a business wants to come into town, And I know one in particular, I think it was, I don't remember the name of it, but it was one of the businesses over on Hilltop some years back. And they had to build that overpass before they could get their permit. Now, I don't know how many millions of dollars that costs.
Wow.
But what they do is they put penalty, if you want to call it that, on new businesses coming into town for the simple reason that they want to get all their work done at no cost instead of waiting and paying for it with tax dollars after the fact.
Right.
Subdivision is the same way.
Yeah, they're gonna
they want all the on- and off-site improvements done and paid for up front. They don't realize that if you take a piece of ground that you're getting $500 a year tax on and put 200 houses on it, that your tax basis goes up and you'll get your money back at the after the build-out.
Right, yeah. And then you're also adding new people living within the city limits that are going to be contributing in sales taxes and, as you were saying, property taxes and other things. I mean, it's pretty basic economics, but we believe there's a lot of people that are opposed to growth here and only growth with certain people that they have prior relationships with.
Well, I'll give you, for instance, I've lived in Reading for over 40 years. And when I first moved here, I did development work in not only Reading, but the county and the state. I will not even consider any kind of a development anymore in the state of California. None.
Wow.
I've moved my whole operation out of state.
Wow. And that's a shame.
That's
too bad.
It's cost the state of California a lot of money. It's cost the city of Reading a lot of money. And I'm just one. I know other people that are in the same business I am that have done the same thing. They've gone to Nevada or Idaho or someplace else.
Hey, Henry, when we become Jefferson, will you bring it back?
I probably would if I'm still alive. I don't know. You're going to have to hurry, though.
we're working on it, buddy. We're working on it.
We're at a fever pace. We're pushing as hard and as fast.
I'm kind of over the hill at this point. I just looked at a subdivision over in Nevada that the offsite killed me on, but I've backed away from it. But there's an awful lot of opportunity here.
There is.
And I'll tell you, I had some conversation with two or three of the city council members last year or year before last, on that Stillwater project. How they have, to the best of my knowledge, not gotten a business in there other than some farm outfit.
Yeah, I don't know what's out there right now.
There's hardly anything going on.
You know, in my worst day, in my absolute worst day, I could have sent a salesman out to the Bay Area, San Jose, and brought in some kind of a business into that park with some incentives.
There you go.
You know, like giving them a piece of ground or giving them two or three years tax-free or something to that effect.
Yeah, there's always a trade. You can always make things happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's called negotiation.
That's right.
And a willingness to want to see growth. I believe a lot of these people are opposed to that growth.
Yes, they are.
Well, 30 years ago, I had a suggestion for the county at that time. The railroad runs through Anderson, it runs all up and down the valley, runs through Reading, too. But if they could get a business developed in the Millville Plains, anywhere in the Millville Plains, they could put a railroad spur up through there, which would bring in heavy industry.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that would give a form of transportation out of there, which is probably the cheapest transportation you can get.
Right.
And they stood there and laughed at me. They said it can't be done.
Wow. We're down to 30 seconds. So with that,
I'll let you go.
I'm going to thank you for the phone call.
Yes, sir.
And
thank you.
You know what Henry is talking about really brings to light a lot of what's going on. You know, to a lot of people, those two words that he just said are dirty words, heavy industry.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's good paying jobs. That's safe and secure, happy families.
Tax base.
People succeeding and finding the American dream.
Yes.
So with that, everybody, we'll see you next week.
From townhall.com, I'm Val Dior. We are saddened to inform you that former First Lady Nancy Reagan has passed away at the age of 94.
We'll have more details for you as they come. Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton still front runners today following a handful of primaries and caucuses yesterday. Trump and Ted Cruz split four contests yesterday, with Cruz closing the delegate gap just a bit. Trump says he thinks it's time for Marco Rubio to step aside.
I would love to take on Ted one-on-one. That would be so much fun. Because Ted can't win New York, he can't win New Jersey, he can't win Pennsylvania, he can't win California. I want Ted one-on-one.
Meanwhile, Senator Rubio says he believes winning his home state of Florida's delegates will be a turning point for his campaign. Two more states weigh in today in a Democratic debate in Flint, Michigan. Rain expected to spread from Northern California throughout the whole state today, though flash flooding is expected. National Weather Service meteorologist Rich Otto says the heavy rain...